This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Guys, it's 2017. It's time to make your next move. Whether it's setting goals, start a business, change a career, or launch a creative project, Squarespace gives you the ability to build an awesome website for cheap and easy that works so that people can see what your next big idea is, your portfolio, your resume, a picture of your bare chest while you as a thirst trap. You can do anything with Squarespace. Do yourself a favor and make a beautiful website or online store with all the award-winning templates. It's the most beautiful way to present your ideas online. It's really easy. It's all in one platform, install, patch, upgrade, all that. They have 24/7 customer support. Look, I'm a guy who spent over $1,000 and wasted so much time, and I still don't know how to update my website. I know I've said it before, but I wish I knew about Squarespace back in the day. It would have been very, very helpful. So you can get unique domains, easy to set up. Everyone's using Squarespace. Here's the thing. If you're a listener of High and Mighty, which you are because this is where you're hearing this ad, make a website on Squarespace using the promo code MIGHTY. You can get 10% off your first purchase, even if that purchase is a whole year or whatever. And I'm very curious what you guys are making out there. Let's make some weird websites. All right, so start your free trial today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code MIGHTY to get 10% off your first purchase. Guys, let's see, shitheads, who can make a weird website using Squarespace? Bye! What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your host, your boy, your number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy! The number one fuckboy! Blah, blah. As always, I'm your host, John Gabrus, in the High and Mighty Studios with my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. And joining me today are two of my favorite, I wouldn't call them comedians because they have almost no personality, but they are two of the funniest writers I've ever met. Guys, Bradford Evans and Nick Sorelli are in the High and Mighty Studio.
Hello.
Hi.
See?
Thank you.
See what I said?
We're
there?
Here. See? Goodbye.
Zero
personality. Should we just leave?
Yeah. Yeah. No. We'll let the listeners sort it out on their own. Isn't that a great intro? I'm sorry.
I wish
to call you guys.
As soon as you started, I was like, oh, I should get this on video. I was like, I'm going to watch this forever.
I'm going to actually get this on video so we can play it in memoriam of him when he dies at the end of the year.
Fuckboy montage.
The fuckboy montage. Guys, we're going to be talking today about shit people do online that we hate. But before we get into that, let's read shit people write online about what they hate about me.
Smooth.
That's how you host such shows as Hair Jacked and Santa's in the Barn. Just smooth transitions like that.
18 words long.
That's why.
Let's see what it is about me that is also what I was saying.
That's why we're three seasons deep into both of those shows. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. They're huge runaway hits. I speak like Final Draft when it reads you. You're writing. Okay, this is from Kaiko Lee. Oh, geez. Maybe, hiding his lack of talent behind his weight. Oh, if you're listening to the first time, if you are a Brad and Nick fan who have no idea who I am, if you roast me in the comments and rate me 5 stars, I will read it on the podcast. I like perpetually have a burp on deck because I smash LaCroix throughout all these. So this is a 5-star review in which they roast me, and now Kaiko Lee gets me to read it. Hiding his lack of talent behind his weight. This is how you know it's a High and Mighty podcast, by the way. The garbage truck comes as soon as you start recording.
He's a fan.
He's a huge fan. He's going to come. He's actually been on a few
times.
They're
here to take us away.
It's Ben Rogers. If you're looking for a podcast that features a man who rarely finishes sentences, makes too many jokes about his weight, and relies on his guests to ramble out things he claims to be knowledgeable about, you've come to the right place. Love the show and listen to it almost every day.
It's like every podcast.
Yeah. I know a lot of my critiques are like, this guy thinks he's important enough to have a podcast. It's like, yeah, no shit. That's the entire
that's
premise
everyone.
Of podcast.
Yeah, this is the first podcast you've heard.
I've leaned in really hard to the self-indulgent part of it where I literally have friends come on. I choose, it's just like, hey, come be my friend. And I want to talk about this right now. Such a scumbag move. This is from One Take Jake 90. The title of the review is Bad Show. I wonder whether you'd still be an idiot if you've had enough oxygen at birth. Ouch.
Hmm.
How did he know I was born with my umbilical cord around my neck? And that's why I could only come while being choked.
This guy did his research.
Yeah.
This guy knows.
Calling doctor.
Yeah. Oh, this is my mother's gyno. One take Jake, of course.
A 78-year-old man.
I got him good.
He's like, I'm one take Jake 90. Yeah.
That clearly is someone who's born in 1992. Yeah. That's the sad part. I got fucking 25-year-olds taking me to task. Yeah. All right, this is from Wonder Cunt, and the title is Proceed with Caution. Listening to John Grabass' stream of obese stoner consciousness not only fulfills but exceeds the negative stereotypes of a typical lazy American man. Imagine demonizing Japanese war propaganda except hyperbolized with higher cholesterol. This podcast would be ideal if you were being a victim of sleep deprivation in Guantanamo Bay. 5 stars. Love the podcast. Wow, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of me being a Japanese propaganda cartoon about what's wrong with America.
Yeah. Was she implying that this would be good torture for people at Guantanamo Bay?
Or to help them go to sleep? I can't tell.
That seems like a good
thing. I think it seems like it'd be torture.
I love that we assume, since their name is Wonder Cunt, that it's a girl.
Yeah, for all we know.
Well, first of all, it's a high and mighty listener, so...
Yeah, this is probably you. Yeah. Like, oh, this one's good.
Yeah, this one's
not,
good.
Not so many comments.
There's a woman commenting.
That would be really funny if I set up this thing about negatively reviewing my podcast, but then people stopped reviewing it, so I had to start writing my own fake negative reviews about myself. That's like a meta... That destroys me.
Yeah. You're just like on 6 computers at the library. You're just like,
like, I'm just asking people, hey, look at me. What do you hate about me? Quick, give me something to write here.
You're fat.
Oh, damn it. You're right. How did I forget that one? That never comes up. All right, guys. Enough about me.
Hell yeah.
That's always the least true statement I say on any given moment. Let's talk a little bit. The reason I wanted you guys on is because you guys have... One of my favorite things about you guys is that you have insanely strong opinions about things that are completely minor. Like, I just love the way you feel about certain things where you're like, this entire subculture is bullshit. Like, I love stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So when we were talking, I directed the sketch team Nephew that you guys were on and are on for a while now. If you want to see their final best of performance, it's February 26th.
It's February something.
It's the last Wednesday seconds. In February.
Might be in...
Maybe
22nd. February 22nd.
Okay,
UCB
cool.
UCB Sunset.
At Sunset. So come check out that show. But we would always bitch about people's social media presences. I'm sure most groups of friends really shit on other people's social media presences. It's a big thing. So I thought we could get together and, without naming names, because some of these people may recognize their own behaviors and what we talk about, but we're going to talk about the shit we hate that people do online.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, online, all this stuff's new.
Yeah.
It's like, the rules are new for what you can and can't do. People are still figuring it out.
Right. Like, I guess when cars were invented, they were like, oh, we probably shouldn't drive like an asshole in this situation. Now we learn that the hard way. I think people in, like, 10 years are going to look back at what they were doing online and be like, whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's, and of course, we shouldn't give a little disclaimer here that if you are a close personal friend of any one of the three of us who happens to do this behavior, we're not talking about you.
Yeah, we're not talking. Yeah. I would never.
I would never talk shit. If you recognize your patterns of your own behavior and what we're talking about, that's your problem.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not talking about you, but use this opportunity to take a long look at yourself.
Scroll down your feed.
How about we start it this way? Do you guys have you or do you do anything online that always makes you feel awful?
I feel like having to promote anything is always bad.
Yeah. There's never like a good way to do that, especially if it's like a thing where you're like being if like it's like you're being featured on a thing, or like you're like if it's like an interview with you or something like
right.
that. I feel like it's always just very self-indulgent, just kind of like, and also if you're promoting it in a way that's just kind of like, oops, I got interviewed. I'm still super awkward though.
Yeah.
It's like I see that a lot of times where people will like promote a thing that they're doing, but like still be kind of like like shitting on themselves for doing it, and like it's.
I think Harris Whittle's cut to the fucking core of that with the humble brag sort of.
Yeah,
he got me a couple of times online with a solid humble brag where I'd be like hitting the red carpet at the VMAs, hope no one notices my flies open or whatever, and people are like, "Fuck you," and I'm like, "Oh wait, that is the most obnoxious thing."
Yeah.
Either own it or don't talk about it at all.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's an impulse if you're doing something cool to mention it on social media, but it always feels like such phony bullshit.
Yeah. It's gross when you see other people do it, but then it's like, oh, this is, you know, when you don't do a cool thing for like 2 or 3 months, and it's like, oh, here's my cool thing, please. I need those likes.
Yeah. And then you're just like immediately just like, oh, fuck this person. But it's like, they're, you know, it's like they released like a short or something that like took them like a long time to make, and I'm sure it's like good, like, you know, it could, or anything really.
It could be good, it could be bad, whatever, but you're just like, oh, fuck you, man.
Yeah. And then you'll just do the same, you like, you'll be like releasing your thing in 6 months and they'll feel the same way.
Yeah.
Is it sort of like a, we're all in this together, look, I know you're gonna do some garbage, I'm gonna do some garbage, and we all just tolerate it from each other?
Yeah,
I think there's like, especially in our community, because we are all people who are creating things, or supposed to be at certain times. It makes sense. Like, why wouldn't I tweet out whenever I put up a new episode of my podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, part of me feels so stupid doing that.
Yeah.
But I think, to me, plugging something directly or retweeting something that's actionable about you are the lowest level of online bullshittery. Like, if I'm just like, here, like, check out Tweenfest, you know, check out Hair Jacked. Those are shows I didn't promote. Yeah, if you have
product,
yeah, if you have actionable things, or like Paste Magazine does an interview with the writers of Tweenfest, and you just retweet it, or you know, say like, I got it, we got interviewed about Tweenfest, completely reasonable.
Yeah.
It's the shit when people start like getting like a few steps removed from that, and then plugging things or asking. Here, we're segueing into my number one pet peeve online, is send good vibes. I don't even want to see my mom's in the hospital, send good vibes. Because that's like really like, I'm like, this is not the place to be hoping for your mom's health.
Yeah.
But the worst version is like, go into a big commercial callback today, could be life-changing, send good vibes. And it's like, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I don't care if you get a Honda commercial. It's like,
if you, when the commercial is completely done and online in some capsule or whatever, and you still think it's a cool idea to promote a commercial, like,
yeah,
go right ahead. By all means, post the finished product. But I don't need to know about the five steps leading up to a
commercial. Even like people when like they share like pictures of like the early steps of like a creative project they're working on or something like that. If it's
script
like,
title page,
or like first day at a writer's room or something like that. It's like
your name on the door of a trailer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Just like, I don't know.
Now, a lot of people who are listening to this podcast aren't friends with minor celebrities or actors in Hollywood. So this might not be that relatable to you, but maybe like what would be, well, it doesn't matter. I think that's all like, if you're promoting the fact that you did something, that's one thing. But like to get people excited about like, just show me the movie that, or the scene you filmed at the end of it. Or when the episode airs, be like, I was in tonight's Goldbergs, check it out. Like, that's like completely reasonable behavior. But being like, table read, name of the character, like, you know. Because another thing people don't, I don't think people realize is, you don't, you can take pictures and not share them. I understand wanting a picture of your name on the call sheet or your name on the title of a script that everyone's reading. That's cool to have that picture, but I don't want it. I don't want I understand if I sell a comedy scent. That's the other thing too. It's like the stakes get lower and lower where I'm doing branded content for Funny or Die. Here's a picture of the script title page.
So honored.
So
send good vibes, so it goes well today.
So that finally Kellogg's gets the juice that they need based off of my bullshit web series. what else is there that is like, because that seems so specific to self. Good vibes stresses me out. Because it's like, is this your hope for something positive to happen? Is
And it's sort of spiritually, it's a little...
I feel like also when it's involving someone in the hospital or that is, like, kind of going through, like, a rough thing, I feel like just making that public feels a little weird.
It feels... Yeah, it feels weird. I feel like it's that... It's the end version of, like, what currency is likes? I know this makes me sound like such a classic hack older dude, but, like... I understand, like, wanting to get a lot of eyes on a project you did. Mm-hmm. But what's the idea to just get a lot of likes on something, period? Like, not even, like... Oh, shit, I need a lot of faves on this joke. Jokes are one thing. If you're tweeting a joke, you, like, want it to know if people like it, because then you're like, oh, that's a good joke. That's something I could use going forward. That's one thing.
And that's an actual thing you made.
Right, yeah, it's an actual thing you made.
You didn't send your dad to the hospital. Right. Unless you did, and maybe that's when you want likes.
Yeah, there's something about it, because there's, like, that impulse to film something when shit is going down and be like, I can't wait to post that. Yeah. And it's like... Post it for what? Just to get views because you got a guy getting punched at a Mets game? And, like, you didn't write it, create it, or anything like that. You just happened to capture it. Like, it's the same thing, like, people steal memes.
Yeah.
Like, or, like, steal jokes to make memes. It's like, you're just pursuing likes at that point. Like, I don't get it.
I think it's like an endorphin thing. Like, it feels good to get a bunch of likes and you're just purely chasing.
It is a lot like... gambling. It's like, you know, you just, like, push a button and you're like, ding, 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 like, waiting to see what kind of fucking jackpot rolls out.
Yeah.
But what do you do at the end of the day with all those likes? You just fucking, I guess.
You forget about it.
I guess if you're, like, trying to monetize your Instagram, which is insane, which is an insane phrase that only recently makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess if you're trying to do that, then maybe likes matter, but... I don't know, man. Like, what are some things you've seen people do that are you can't help but see are just transparent swings for likes? This political climate is a good time to talk about.
Sure.
Saying an opinion that everyone else has.
Donald Trump is an asshole. It's like, my man.
Yeah. My man, you get that like. You get that that Facebook ha-ha face.
Worth it.
They invented the ha-ha face for you.
Yeah, or people do a lot of shit where you could just Google... Like, it's like, hey guys, anyone have any ideas for good zombie movies? Like, it's like people just Facebook, like, the most random. What's a good spot to get tacos?
Yeah, just asking for recommendations. Then it just becomes this big, everyone's got to say their opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, those Facebook recommendation things are weird.
Yeah.
I really like when someone says on Facebook, like, traveling to so. Like, this is what social media is about. I'm going to Paris. Never been. Any recommendations?
Yeah.
That's totally reasonable.
Yeah.
It's the people who comment and then are way too into it, like being like, oh, don't listen to Brad. He's wrong about that steak frites place. You got to go here. It's like, what do we all care that much about?
Like, about this, like, person you barely know what experience they have in Paris. Right. Like, I want them to do the things. I think it's all just like, it's like, oh, I had a great, I went to Paris. I did the work. I know the stuff.
Right. And At the root of it, it's that person commenting just being like, I went to Paris.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to Paris.
I also went to Paris.
Or like, I went to Paris and I know the good spots.
Right. I went to Paris and I did it right. Let me know if you
want to. I'm the only person that did it right.
I'm the only person that's been to Paris.
Don't listen to anyone else.
Yeah.
There is something about that, too, on social media where you want to be like, you know, we all have done that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, someone's like, I mean, the gym is a good example of that.
Uh-huh.
Like, people, if you start your own fitness Instagram or Twitter, that's completely reasonable for me. It's like, that maybe if you can want to follow it. But if I'm, like, friends with you and you're just posting pictures of you at the gym every day, we get it. You go to the gym. A lot of people do.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe now I'm just getting at it from a personal point of view where it stresses me out. I'm like, maybe I should be at the gym. you guys are always tweeting bodybuilding photos of yourselves, which is crazy.
Hey, we got to show off the goods.
Yeah.
For anyone listening who doesn't know me and Nick, we're very buff bodybuilders.
Yeah, huge shredded bodybuilders.
Yeah. Big in the muscle beach scene.
We're covered in tribal tattoos.
Yeah.
You both have chin strap beards and bandanas on at any given moment.
We're actually lifting weights right now, this whole conversation.
Put down the kettlebell. Poor Arthur is completely lost here. He's getting trapped. Artie, it's okay. We're talking about social media. Don't you worry. You're a big hit on it. Oh, yeah. So, like, dogs?
Dogs, cats.
But that's, I feel like that's what Instagram is for, or social media is for, is dogs, cats, babies.
People like that. I think, like, does Arthur have a Facebook?
No.
That's annoying,
I think. Arthur doesn't even have his own Instagram, unless you count my wife's Instagram as his.
Especially when it's, like, you know, you're not, like, it's not, like, not like, an Instagram famous, like, pet or anything like that. Then it's just, like, my dog has 200 followers on Facebook, and it's, like, what's, like, just
it's the same. It's the same people that are following you.
Yeah.
And it's, like, if I'm following you on Instagram, unless you're posting 5 pictures a day, if I'm already choosing to follow you, I'm probably okay with a few dog pics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know what I'm getting into when I get on Instagram.
Yeah.
Another thing, I hate retweeting compliments.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of people. Oh. Like, I feel like if you want to retweet compliments or regram compliments, whatever you want to call it, you need to, like, pick and choose those battles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Judd Apatow says, like, hey, watch Tween Fest and loved it, you can retweet it. But if, like, fucking Pepe the dog with no followers and, like, a fucking egg avatar is, like, loved it, hilarious, and you guys retweeted it, feels so scummy, right?
Yeah, if it's, like, a stranger, like a nothing.
It just feels weird. It feels like you're saying, like, it feels like you're desperate for a way to remind people that you did something.
Yeah.
So when you get a compliment on, like,
that someone liked it.
Yeah. Like, I do get compliments on my podcast on Twitter. I'll never retweet a podcast compliment unless it's, like, hyper specific and or takes me down in some way, or I need to fight the person. Like, I'll bring it up, but
yeah, because no one's gonna be like, ooh, Gabrus retweeted a compliment of himself. That
right. Yeah.
Check that out.
Yeah.
I have to check out his podcast now.
Like, oh, of course he liked a thing that was about him.
Right. Yeah. That's what that it's like. I follow Gabrus online and I wasn't gonna check out his podcast until a stranger said it was good. Yeah. Now I will check it out. Like, if you're following me and don't listen to my podcast, I don't think there's gonna be something that gets you to get on board. Like, if you know I have a podcast and choose not to listen to it, fine. But I don't think, like, I'm going to sell you on it by having some fucking earwolf fucking fanboy with 17 followers just fucking shouting me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get it. I mean, I will like every compliment or respond like, hey, thanks. Yeah, here's more.
Thanks, man.
That's nice.
That's what it is. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it's like.
You thank a person. It's like in real life, you don't, when someone compliments you, you don't like shout it in the streets.
Yeah, did you hear Nick?
Yeah.
Did you hear I got a party?
Did you hear about my compliments?
Everyone gathered around.
Yeah, it's almost like if you guys walked out of a show and someone was like, great show, and you were like, hey, what? Guys, guess who said great show over here, huh? Yeah. Say it. Tell them. The person's like, I just was trying to tell you.
Yeah. I just got stuck walking in the same direction as you.
Also, I feel like people compliment things in hopes of getting retweeted.
Yeah. Like, oh, especially like a very popular thing with the famous person.
Right. Well, you're like, I hope that Alana Glazer retweets me when I say I love Broad City.
Yeah.
Also, these retweeting of compliments can really skew what actually is, like, according to my Twitter feed, Broad City is the biggest hit in the entire universe, or like Girls is the most watched and most divisive show ever made. And then you're like, oh, they're like, they're good. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy both of them, but they're not like insanely popular. It's just because that weird small echo chamber I live in. Here, do you want to just give him his bone? Because he's going to just keep trying to fight for it.
I wasn't sure if the noise of Arthur chewing
his bone. Oh, it doesn't matter. No one even listens to this fucking thing. Oh, you think audio issues are a thing? We have a garbage truck going. You think this room is soundproof? I'm in a chair that just squeaks. I burp and fart all day. No one listening gives a fuck. Although every time I say something like that, people are like, we would prefer if it was better quality.
We would prefer if you did a better job with your podcast.
We prefer if you had an engineer.
Those are the ones I retweet.
Thanks, man.
Thanks. Check me out on my shitty recorded podcast. retweeting compliments is because then you'll just say to yourself, like, wow, so-and-so is really crushing it in the business right now.
Yeah.
But does that mean it's working?
I think that stuff does work. I think those people that are really good self-promoters, it's like disgusting to their peers, but then it tricks everyone else.
That's what's crazy is that, you know what you're doing is disgusting to your friends,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but you're still like you still have to do it. But it's yeah. like you know your friends are like you piece of shit.
yeah,
but like, ugh. All right, let's back away from promoting. Is there something yeah. that's like a little more general that people maybe that isn't involved exactly in the business that people do on social media that drives you guys crazy?
I'm super annoyed by Facebook Live. Do you
yes.
get these notifications for
yes.
these Facebook Live videos? I actually just figured out how to turn them off.
Ooh.
You can turn them off for all people. I was blocking people one by one as they would do that. Or like unfollowing them on Facebook Live or
now,
whatever.
Now, what is that? Is that because Facebook promotes Facebook Live, you want to do it because then it'll get you that bump up in their weird algorithm or whatever?
I guess so.
And what are people doing? Maybe if you, without accidentally burning a bridge here, what are some shit people are going live with?
I've seen people just be like, I'm walking to the store. Oh, like I'm stuck in traffic and I'm going to talk about this topic.
Oh, sort of like Snapchat kind of or Instagram story
yeah.
in a way.
I think yeah. like making those videos is fine. It's just, it's Facebook's fault that it's like,
that it pushes it
all
on
of your friends a notification
yeah.
when
yeah.
you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I don't care about anything that's happening. It could be like my like mom with like a gun to her head. Why do I have to get a notification about this now? I'll find it on its own.
If I want to see my mom with a gun in her head, I'll search my mom's Facebook profile
yeah.
and hope to find her with a gun to her head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Facebook Live's an annoying yeah. one. That's mm-hmm. an annoying one. I could see that. Yeah, like, and what are people doing on there? That's the thing. It's like I've seen like streaming like sort of web chat shows or mm-hmm. like Dungeons and Dragons games or like Twitch kind of video gamey mm-hmm. type things. That shit all makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's weird to like carpet bomb everyone with that info.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's just do it on something else that yeah. doesn't harass with like a little notification. But it's also like I'm on Facebook. I'm not doing anything important.
Right.
Still...
This is your fault too for being. That's yeah. the thing. A lot of people bitch about Facebook, but you also don't have to be on Facebook.
Yeah. 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 yeah.
But we all make like those concessions, like, well, actually, it's good for me to promote. Like, actually, I get my new, like, I do get like my news from Facebook. Like, mm-hmm. so many people tweet articles where I'm like, mm-hmm. or post articles. I'm like, oh, cool. And I'm like, I'm lying to myself if I can't get those articles anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
I like Facebook. I like seeing pictures of people's babies and liking them, or like random bathing suit photos of friends of mine.
yeah, yeah. That's why we're all on Facebook, to see our friends in bathing
yeah.
suits. And
as yeah. soon as a friend goes on vacation, I'm just like, ding, ding, ding.
I gotta follow this.
Yeah. All right, yeah, all right. You're looking ripped. It's guys only.
Just loving every single post, like yeah. a heart.
Just making a comment on every one of Eugene Cordero's posts. Still got it, bro. Yes. Looking shredded. Delts are popping. yeah, Facebook Live is an annoying one. Here, I'm gonna step out. I'm gonna step out with a controversial one.
Ooh.
Crowdfunding.
Almost
yep. period.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Like, it used to be like, if you wanted to make like a socially conscious documentary, I would be like okay with it. Where if
yeah.
you're like, we want to raise money or like something that can like help people in some capacity, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But when people are just like raising money for their own web series, it's like,
yeah.
give me the money I need to do the thing that you also, I mean, it helps because it's something I want to do too.
yeah.
uh-huh.
But it's like, oh, I would never ask everyone to pay for my fucking like spec web series.
Right.
Yeah.
But if I was like a big filmmaker and I had another movie I wanted to come out, I don't even know if I could do it then. Like, I don't even know if like I respect if like Kevin Smith does a Kickstarter, I feel like, or an Indiegogo yeah. or whatever they're called.
Yeah, there is kind of a weird thing where it's like sometimes like bigger people will do those crowdfunding things and be like, "Oh, but it's like it's giving more power to the fans,
right? And
to give me money, and it's like I feel like you could probably get this made somewhere,
right?
Yeah,
right. That, you know, as long as they're not like overly promoting it, maybe mm-hmm, like that's mm-hmm. like the where it's like it's one thing where it's like Kevin Smith who has I'm using him as an example. I don't even know if he's done crowdfunding, but it sounds
yeah.
like something in his wheelhouse, mm-hmm. or it sounds like something he's about to figure out in 5 years, and then we'll definitely do a lot of.
It sounds like something he was about to do when Zach Braff did that one that everyone hated him for, and he's yeah. like, pump the brakes on
yeah.
me. Not going to crowdfund yoga hosers.
Yeah, it's one thing like wow, that was a couple of great specifics in there. Zach Braff's like thing was very funny because it was like he is a successful filmmaker.
Yeah.
And then it's like, so what do you want to just make it without the studio?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I feel like it should just be like you should like people could prepay to see it.
Yeah,
I like think that I think makes that's sense. Like if you give me $20, you're guaranteed a download of this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. And then because everything else past that gets weird, where it's like, did you pay $5,000 to see the Veronica Mars movie come into play? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Where do you live on that? It's like, I'm an associate producer on Veronica Mars because yeah, I donated so much money.
Yeah, I mean, there are probably people who make or start their careers as producers by just putting a bunch of money into those.
I know.
It's like, oh no, cool. You've never actually done anything.
That's crazy. It's like, let me see your resume. It's like, oh, you're an associate producer on 12 indie go-go started features.
Yeah.
I'll go one deeper, and maybe this is a little too fucked up, but like, I don't even want to pitch in for your fucking dog or your grandmother or your friend's surgery.
Oh, that's the one that I think is fun.
Okay. Backing off.
That's the one I'm like, oh, this seems like an actual good use of this democratic word.
Right.
Yeah, I think we also just do live in like a nightmare world where like everyone's like insurance like doesn't cover enough of things, so it's like we also have to turn to like crowdfunding stuff to like get money for things.
You're gonna see a whole lot more of those.
I know, as the ACA goes away, we're all gonna be like, I rely exclusively on GoFundMe for my surgeries.
Yeah.
I always feel like, I know it's so hard, but it's such an easy, it's for me, it's such a slippery slope of like, please help me raise money because my dog needs surgery. I was like, if you maybe shouldn't have gotten a dog. Like, yeah. I'm sorry.
I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Or do you not have like a closer friend that you could just ask to borrow a decent amount of money from? Like, that's always a thing that bothers me too.
Yeah, but half of it.
But I see that it's like, if it's crowdfunding, there's like a positivity to it where we're like, hey, it only cost us all $5 and we were able to get this guy's dog surgery or whatever.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Yeah
that's like
in
fair.
College, if you guys fuck up a dorm room or something.
Yeah.
And someone vomited on the couch.
Yeah, and we like, everyone owes $20, bro. Sorry, man.
Yeah, that makes sense. The weird thing about those web series Kickstarters or whatever is I've seen a couple that just like never come out. And it's it's the shadiest thing in the world.
I feel like sometimes launching a Kickstarter is that extra procrastination step where you're like, cool, I guess. Like, literally, it's like, I'll only do this bullshit project if I cannot pay a dime for it or arguably make some money off of it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy to be like... And then for those people to turn around and, like, sell stuff like that, like, yeah. Where it's like, you don't give anything back to the people who fucking... You monsters.
Yeah.
Now, there's potentially some peers who have tried to sell web series on Kickstarter, and guys, we're not talking about.
We're not talking about you. I think it's
yours
fine.
Is good. Yours was good.
Yours was good. I think it's fine if you make the thing and you're not asking for too much money. Right, but it's like if you just ask for the money to make like a short film.
Yeah, when someone's like, "We just need $450,000 for editing and special effects," you're like, "Wait a minute,
yeah,
what?"
Yeah,
yeah. There are some where it's just like. Like you don't need that much money for this.
Yeah.
You don't need that much money to make. Well, that was the funny thing is like, there was like a period of time when everyone's like, with Final Draft and iPhones, everyone can make a movie, you know, or a Final Cut or everyone. Movies are just so easy to make. And it's like, yeah, they are. Wow. We can really do some like fly by the seat of your pants movies. All I need from my friends is $175,000.
Then
I can make this super simple fly by.
I just downloaded iMovie on my iPhone and the Duplass brothers said that you can make movies on your phone now. Everyone should be going out making movies.
Yeah, the Duplass brothers don't have to ask anyone for money.
Yeah, yeah. Also, they can get away with saying something like that because it's like they have made normal movies already.
Right.
Anyone can make a shitty movie on your stupid phone.
Yeah.
There's
a weird condescension to it. Like, yeah, go ahead, you fucking schmucks.
Yeah. Try it.
They're just like trying to like level the playing field of just making sure everyone is like very shitty so they're still very good.
Yeah.
Anyone could just make a bullshit movie on their iPhone. Us, we have an HBO series, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty big budgets. Yeah, you don't even need sound. Just use the microphone on your phone.
Yeah.
But then those guys do something like that movie Creep, where it's two guys act in it and shoot it and edit it. And it's like, oh, you're right. That was shot clearly with just one camera over the course of like 3 weekends. And it's a decent movie. It's like, oh, that's what you mean by you still need to have like talent.
Yeah. That's what they forget.
I guess it's just like everything where it's like 99% of the things are bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Like people can still, I guess still can make good stuff without a crew and with just their phone.
What about adding celebrities or adding famous, mentioning, I guess, on like Twitter if you're like, love Hamilton at Lin-Manuel Miranda. Like, that's so obviously you just want them to
interact
to, like,
with you.
Yeah.
Or to, like, help you. Yeah, there's what, there's a, I'm not going to name names on this, but somebody we all know during the, well, the Paris attacks were happening was tweeting at a bunch of celebrities to be like, please hire me on your TV show.
Oof.
Like, publicly tweeting at the stars,
Rita Room,
Andy Samberg,
and that's also not how television works at all.
Yeah. It was like the act. It wasn't even at the showrunner. It was like, please, this actor hire me. And it's like this. Everyone else is mourning this tragedy. I mean, maybe that was the strategy. Maybe it was like, I can sneak this in.
Right? This is the time. This
maybe
is
it's
the
very
time
smart.
To do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always funny when people have are people a little tone deaf to what the current social media climate is, you know, like on like election day as the results are coming in, you're like, also don't forget to come see my bit show Friday night at midnight at UCB.
Yeah.
But adding celebrities always feels like, well, there's an element of Twitter and social media in general where you just want other people to associate you with famous people or specific people. Like, one of my least favorite things I feel like I've talked about on this podcast before is just the vague congratulations. So it's like, oh, congrats, Brad. You know, just I post that on your wall. People are like, what the fuck? What's Brad got going on? But in, like, it could be whatever. You could have actually booked something. You could have done whatever. And I'm like, congrats, Brad. What I'm really saying is, hey, social media, I'm such good friends with Brad that I know he's booked something. So I'm pretty much like 5% part of the reason why he booked that.
I'm probably going to book something next.
Like,
he's going to put in a good word for me next time.
I know
next time
the
things are rolling around, next time bookings are avail.
Next time these secret things that he can't announce yet that I know about.
That's like a fun like mind game to play with people on Facebook, is just like going on to like random people's Facebook pages and then just being like, congrats, dude.
We've done that. So I've done that so many times with friends where we just like weird social media experiments where it's like, nice work, man. Like, we always say, like, if five people compliment you on Twitter or say congratulations on Twitter, see, like, if you can start, like, who's the sixth? Like, Max Silvestri, a former guest of the podcast, friend of mine, would one time at Comic-Con would just start, like, get two people and just stand in a line, just create a line. And then eventually people like, what are you in line for? They're like, we're not sure. And then, like, people would just join in. And then it's like, they eventually have, like, a line of 20 people, and they just like, all right, well, walk away. And people are like, wait, what are we in line for? I feel like that you could do that on social media by just saying, like, congrats, Brad. Like, if we conspired to have four people say congrats. As a matter of fact, if you're listening to this podcast right now, tweet at Bradford Evans. Is that your handle?
That's correct.
Tweet at Bradford Evans. Congratulations. And nothing else. Just see if we can get...
trap someone.
You
then
just
we'll
get
all...
a call to write on a show at that point.
Like, well, you were getting congratulated. We felt bad that you had nothing.
We've been monitoring your mentions, and now we see that you have some congratulations. You feel like you're ready to fucking write for our show, brother.
We thought that if we hired you, no one would congratulate you. You've proved us wrong.
Yeah, it's always just like if you're actually very good friends with someone and they do something well that you want to congratulate them on, or say like, loved you on this episode of the Goldbergs last night, those are also things you could like email and text.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to put like the period before the at symbol to like let everyone know like I'm tweeting to my
friend.
It's also crazy because like none of us and the people I'm talking about like don't have a ton of followers.
No.
Like if you have like if you're like a legit celebrity friend of mine who is promoting something, like you're assuming a fraction of your followers are your actual friends.
Yeah.
On smaller levels, like a majority of your followers are people you actually know, right? So that's kind of like a weird thing where it's like, who are you promoting to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just screaming about social media until I'm lightheaded. What are some other things? I hate the thirst trap pictures.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen thirst trap
pictures. So it's a... Well, maybe because they don't work on you. But like when a woman is just like stressed as fuck, lying in bed all day, and it's like a blatant cleavage-y shot. Under the covers. Or dudes do it kind of too, where it's like, can't get this novel done on time, and it's like a brooding, perfect selfie of themselves. And it's like, you just want people to compliment you.
Yeah. You're, keep going.
You're making them thirsty for you. You're trapping them into being thirsty. Like, and I don't mind if it's blatant.
Yeah.
But like when it's just writing jokes is hard, and it's like a female comedian like making, but it's like a, she's in like a like a low cut shirt. You're like, what are you doing? What are you?
Yeah,
I'm dancing into dangerous territory.
This episode's getting very problematic.
Yeah, this problematic should be the fucking name of this podcast. I should have, instead of High and Mighty.
Moshe Kasher might sue you.
Oh yeah. Fuck,
he beat you to the punch.
Right, that is the name of his new show.
Yeah.
Oh fuck. Well, I should be on it then, at least. Yeah. Let me tweet at Moshe Kasher. Hey, congrats on Problematic.
Problematic. Can I use your name for my podcast?
Yeah.
Can I pretend I'm friends with you on my podcast? I'm going to start doing that once an episode on a podcast, is just like name check some comedian that I'm not really friends with and just be like, oh, fuck, yeah, Dane Cook and I were like smoking a one-hitter outside the Comedy Store.
Yeah. So anyway.
Sorry, what were we talking
about?
I'm now discussing Hollywood Handbook.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a non-ironic version of that. Yeah.
This most recent episode of Hollywood Handbook is literally all about me, and I'm not on it.
Oh,
oh wow. I gotta check that out.
Sean Clements brings on Joe Wengert to try to out Gabris me. And it's called Higher and Mightier with Joe Wenger. It's like the most inside shit ever. And it's all because Sean and Hayes have like this feud, because Hayes was on an episode of my podcast that did well.
Uh-huh.
And he's been lording that over Sean for like episodes. But because he keeps promoting it on the podcast, it keeps doing better. It's like randomly one of my most popular episodes, only because they talk about it week after
every
week.
That's great. A bunch of listeners. Yeah.
So if you're a fan of High and Mighty, maybe listen to this week's Hollywood Handbook and see how Joe Wengert holds up pretending to be me.
Yeah. I'm just going to plug this episode right now. Get this to be a popular High and Mighty episode. If you're listening to this, listen to it again.
It's weird to promote it on the episode. As soon as this is over, just resubscribe. Delete it, download it again. Is there a way to juice podcast numbers that way? I would feel like I could maybe get a bunch of crazy loyal fans to do something like that.
I bet you could. You get bots to listen to it.
Should I just get like super fans to go around to other people's computers and just subscribe to my podcast on there? Like, any chance you get, just subscribe to my podcast.
Anytime someone
hands
out.
You a phone, that's what I'm going to start doing.
Yeah.
If someone leaves their phone out, I'm going to just subscribe them to my... What's your password? I just want to...
It's going to be like a Black Ops version of that U2 album that got put on everyone's phone. I'm just like, why the fuck do I have High and Mighty? Everyone
the
in America.
The lowest stakes. Why do I have 9 hours about chicken wings now downloaded onto my podcast?
Chicken Wings Part 3.
The episode you've all been waiting for. What else do we have?
I don't care about anyone's LA anniversary.
Anniversary.
I also can't talk.
That is, like 10 years of living out here. Here are the things I've learned.
It's
like the 405 is never good.
The 405 still sucks.
There's better hot dog places than Pink's hot dogs.
In-N-Out's overrated.
But it's just like, I don't care if you moved here like 4 years ago.
Right.
It's not like a milestone.
Right. Yeah. That's arbitrary. I feel like you can say 5 or 10 years, but people are always like, 6 years ago I moved here. And it's like,
I'm curious if like people do that for like, if it's like Hartford, Connecticut or something, if it's like, it's my Hartford anniversary. Like it's like, do people like, is it just like an LA thing of following your dreams? Here's a recap of everything I've failed to do.
Here's a reminder that I'm still here for all you people.
That I still need a commercial agent.
Since no one's called me or asked me to do anything with them, I just want to put out a blanket reminder that I still live in Los Angeles.
And that I will not be moving away for at least one more year.
Guys, it's my 7-year. Just a picture of someone with a gun in front of LAX. 7-year anniversary. I'm gonna leave. I swear to God. Someone asked me to be in their spank.
Want to be in one spank?
That is weird. That is, or like job anniversaries too. You know what I mean? I guess it's a slippery slope, because I almost don't even want to hear about your wedding anniversary.
I don't know if I just care about anything that anyone has to say.
That's what the real realization here is, that we're all just fucking suicidal nihilists.
Yeah.
I wish my Facebook was just blank.
Yeah, I, just think, ah. I wish none of my friends conveyed any information to me and I could able to just stare at my computer.
Yeah.
Dead-eyed for fucking hours on end.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, the undercurrent to this entire thing is I wish I didn't have friends.
Yeah.
Like, we're just pretty much saying, but we're all on social media. That's the best part.
We'll never leave.
We all love it. Yeah, it's just us saying.
I promise you I'll never leave.
Yeah. Never gonna fucking leave.
I'm pretty envious of guys like Mandzukas and Zach Woods, who I feel like have done well in life without.
Like, I've never used
never
any of that
social
stuff.
Media.
Never even, like, Facebook?
Maybe they used to have Facebook, but, like, not on, like, a fan page level.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about someone who has a fan page. Like, I get it. Like, part of me really wants to get off Facebook and just have a fan page, but I also hate when people post about, like, that exact phrase.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's being like,
like,
hey,
I want to do it, but I don't know the way to transition to be like,
right.
I'll be keeping everyone up to date on the fan page. Like, it's so upsetting. To admit you have fans is so hard to begin with.
Oh, yeah. They even say the phrase, I've heard friends just say that, and I'm like, oh, boy. Like, we're still in the same room. You can't be that popular.
You are talking to me.
Yeah.
You don't have fans.
It's so saying my fans is hard. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time saying that.
Yeah, but you actually have. You're not like someone making a fan page when it's like you're on an iOS sketch team or something.
I do have some fans. I feel comfortable saying that, but I also think that they're all psycho scumbags. Uh-huh. So, and I'll tell them. That's why I call them shitheads. Yeah, I have fans, and I'm uncomfortable acting a certain way. You know what I mean? Yeah. I have not a huge amount of followers, but a decent amount of followers on Twitter, and I'm still uncomfortable making plugs.
Yeah.
And there's no way of my, whatever, 44,000 followers, over 2,000 of them are people, 2,000 are probably people who know me personally.
Yeah.
And they probably know what I'm up to, so I feel, and I guess it's just them that I'm afraid, or am I, do I have to just maybe stop talking negatively about this stuff so I can do it? That's when you guys will know when I've changed, is when this episode is scrubbed from the internet. I've unfollowed both of you and I'm just self-promoting incessantly.
Just doing Facebook live videos 10 times a day. every
single thing has gone live again. It's just me like gun to the head by LAX.
Everything we've talked about, you're just like
6-year anniversary.
Go to do it.
I've been in LA for 5 years and I've only hosted 4 non-union game shows.
I think I'm literally only on Facebook just to keep up with what my friends are doing and then just to like look at things that I like hate. Like there's like odious people that I follow that are like
there's people that we all hate follow. Like, you don't have to name names, but it's just like I can't wait to see what this person, no matter what their gender or whatever, because I'm trying not to use any pronouns here. Whatever they post.
Yeah. I unfollowed a couple that I like.
I've had to unfollow a few people.
Yeah.
The other thing I use Facebook for is to remember people's names. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can, like, when you see their face a few times and then you run into them again somewhere else, you're like, oh, Nick Sorelli, right.
Yeah.
Yes. That guy.
You nailed it when we walked in. You knew Nick's name.
I had just been on Facebook. I was like,
just trying to register.
Wait, what's the redhead's name? Yeah. I'm like searching redhead comedy. I can't even figure out where I know you from. I invited him over my fucking house.
Yeah, it's the worst thing when it's like you meet someone then only see them every like 9 months and you forget their name
and you feel awful.
Bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or there's like the opposite of that.
Yeah.
The pendulum swings the other way when you like run into someone and they're like and you're like, how was your Italy vacation? I saw like you know way too much about someone.
Yeah.
Or like you finally meet someone that you don't actually know that well but have been following for some while and you like know way too much about them. You're like, oh hey, Phil Rosenthal from and you're like, oh sorry, and you're like, last month I was in Indonesia. Like, it's like, okay, pump the brakes, man.
Yeah, you almost have to like play dumb about not like they tell you things. It's like, oh really? It's like,
oh cool, yeah.
You got 500 likes and it was in my top of my feed.
Yeah, if you look back, I retweeted it.
Yeah.
That always happens when, like in this, you like meet someone, and you're like, oh, I know way too much. Like, or someone lives their breakup out loud.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. People who live their relationships from soup to nuts, from beginning to end, all out loud online, and you're like, have a hard time, like trying to pretend like you don't know that there was insane drama.
Right,
and stuff.
Yeah. Or like what it's going to look like when they eventually break up.
Oh, yeah.
And just like save
rub
it.
Their entire profile.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I know so many people like that because it's just a generational thing, though, I think. You guys are younger than me, but I think people even younger than you don't see the possibilities of, like, what's going to happen if this goes south.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you just see, like, my everything, 1,000 pictures on Instagram of them, and then it's like, you look back and they just have deleted everything in their profile, and it's the last thing is just, like, boys suck.
Yeah, and, yeah.
What other... it's hard to say, like, is there anything you hate follow that isn't, like, a specific person? Is
a
there
person a, we all know.
Yeah.
Like, is there anything that you hate follow? Like, any weird Instagram feeds that you, like, follow or Twitter feeds that you follow and you're like, every time I read this, I don't give a fuck. maybe it's only people.
I think there's, like, people we don't know or pages that we're fascinated by.
Yeah.
There's, like, those ones that are, like, people making memes about their, like, how much they love their kids.
Oh, so that's something we should talk about. So you guys, of course, found some weird niche pocket of the internet that you guys lampoon. So I guess there's this meme culture of how much you love your kids. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. There's a Facebook page called I Love My Sons.
I love my son. Yeah.
That is just like... just like these really crappy, like 2004 era, memes of just like, I can't believe how much I love my son. It's literally just like the most basic.
You don't know happiness until you have a son. Or the sun always shines when you have a son or some shit like that. So you guys made your own page.
Yeah, ours is called I Love My Little Sons on Facebook.
And you can like it.
Please like I Love My Little Sons on Facebook, which is a fake sun memes, right?
Yeah. We use it every couple months and then abandon it.
And then abandon, stop doing it.
Long stretches of time. They're all terrifying.
Yeah, well, there is something weird. The amount of specificity to memes now is crazy. Like, oh, you can follow memes about this, and then, I mean, political memes or whatever, but then there's just like redhead memes you got the fire when you're a redhead and it's like a picture of like a campfire or whatever. And you're like, who is this for? And then you see like, that's like your aunt posts that shit.
Yeah.
There's like a whole element of social media that I just think is for aunts.
Yeah.
Like aunts.
There's so many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff has like millions of, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Oh yeah. When it's like, already we're talking like, Lad Bible and all those shits that have like tons of like 28 million views, and it's just like a weird short video of a kid getting slapped in the face,
right? Yeah,
like, or they're just like cafeteria,
or like reposting like some like SpongeBob meme or something,
like local radio stations' Facebook pages,
yes,
are like so popular
because they're just aggregating other aggregators, and that's
just
the shit that's like depressing, where it's like, you're a heavy metal radio station. This has nothing to do with heavy metal. You're just like, look at Unilad. Or The Chive.
Love The Chive.
There is a subculture of the internet that I don't like, and that's like that bro-y, like sort of.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people drink beer. A lot of people eat meat. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't, we don't have to like fucking build an entire, I mean, I guess I've built my entire.
Yeah, I think you're just describing yourself.
Yeah.
You're a living lad Bible.
I am the human chive.
You're one Trainspotting episode away from being the chive.
Keep calm and chive on, baby.
Yeah. We've got to describe that. Gabrus is wearing all chive clothing right now. Yeah.
I have all chive clothing except for my St. Paddy's Day hat. Yeah, I'm getting ready for this fucking March, bro.
Dude, I'm always thinking about St. Paddy's.
Can't wait, bro. Going to get fucking smashed, dude. What else is on the internet?
What else is on the internet?
What is there anything else that you guys specifically hate that?
We're obsessed with this guy I went to high school with, who like is just very like normal, but we'll just post these very emotional things on Facebook. I have a couple.
I feel weird reading something from your high school friend. But
no,
if
it's fine. I'm not going to say his name.
Oh, okay.
It's like. Okay, he says, I want to give a special thank you to my friend, and then as the friend's name, for helping me understand the movie Inception after 5 times of watching it and not understanding it. Now that I do, my brain splattered all over the walls. It's going to take a while for me to get it back. This is 2 months ago. This is about a decade-old movie.
Oh, man. Inception and Fight Club are the most... overuse movies to for people for men to pretend to be intellectual for liking.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're both just like action movies with cool dudes dressed cool in the leads.
Yeah, they're not that smart.
Yeah, I mean, Inception is like one thing about the movie is like, I wonder what's the truth. It's like the spinning top moment at the end.
Yeah,
and then everyone is like, bro, I watched it 5 times and didn't get it.
Yeah.
I still don't get it.
He has to call out his friend for helping him understand. Yeah. And also admit he is dumb enough to not understand a movie. Like, you could Google what's going on in Inception and one article will explain it to you in 2009.
Or like maybe pay closer attention the second time you watch it.
Yeah.
And then you can really sort it all out.
Or like stop watching it. Maybe Inception isn't for you.
Maybe.
Yeah. If your end goal is just to understand Inception, it feels like it's not that important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe just stop watching.
Yeah.
If you watch Inception 3 times and don't get it, you can give up. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
and
that's
I don't
fine.
Think you're missing out. Like, Inception's like probably 2 hours and 20 minutes long. 5 times, that's fucking 11 and a half hours.
Half a day of your life. Yeah. Be like, what is this?
And no
the
one
walls
else is
are
going,
turning.
It's like no one's walking up to him and going, hey man, do you understand Inception?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not coming up.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A thing that like we've all collectively forgotten about. Like,
yeah.
Dude, it's Brad Pitt's wife's head in the box. Someone just
yeah. I feel like 7 is more relevant than Inception in 2017.
Right.
Like that's like Inception's further back on the tip of my tongue.
Inception's like I think that's the sweet spot for references though that people forget. Like to be nostalgic for something that's like 4 years is like the perfect amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like saying like going this too far back to be like, I miss Darkwing Duck is like not as funny as saying like, I'm trying to think, Avatar the Last
Airbender.
Yeah. the first Sherlock Holmes movie.
Right. Yeah.
Just pick something that has the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movie. That's a great, just saying Guy Ritchie is like a perfect.
Yeah.
What about any celebrities on social media who have just fucking ruined it? Like who here's a good question. Any celebrities or people you were fans of that have ruined your take on them because of social media?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I feel it's always people that I think I have like a letter grade C and then now I think they're an F.
right. It only really helps you turn more off against them. It's,
right.
But
yeah.
It's rare that someone's social media presence makes me like them more.
Yeah.
Though I've always been sort of like I worked at VH1 in the early 2000s and mid-2000s, so I got a lot of Michael Ian Black in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up as a State fan. And I was never like a super Michael Ian Black fan, but his social media presence has made me like him so much more. He's like relentless attacks on right-wing bullshit assholes on Facebook, on Twitter. He's so good at it that it makes me like him more. Colin Quinn. There's a dude who has the best Twitter presence ever.
He's
just like ironically being nice and then everyone just writes fuck you at him and he like retweets them all. Like his fans are just fucking Goombas screaming at him all day.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, I think people doing weird stuff like that is really interesting. Or that's such a unique thing to him.
Or like Neil Casey just has
fuck
yourself,
go fuck yourself
written thousands of times.
And then just remembering people, Neil Armstrong's
just like once a year.
Once a year. That's really funny.
Yeah, I think that makes me respect him more. Yeah.
Scotty Landis, who's a comedy writer on Instagram, will post a picture and then post a quote that has nothing to do with the picture and that is also misattributed to someone else. So it's like the most complicated thing where it's like, if you try to read it, you're like, who? This guy is like, he doesn't make any sense. I just stopped myself from saying the R word incorrectly.
Great work.
Excellent work. I probably shouldn't have brought it up. Call myself out. But he's doing, I'm trying to think of the, he's not really a celebrity except to me. I don't know who I hate more. I'll say it. Judd Apatow.
Uh-huh.
He's gone like a little like, I really liked his stuff, but now it's like it's all just like complaining and retweeting like what's going, what negative stuff. I guess the politics is hard because it's like everyone feels like I gotta say something about
this.
Yeah, and I think we're in a scary time. I guess he does have like a big audience.
Like, right.
Big fan of Judd Apatow. Not gonna say anything bad about Judd Apatow.
Hey, Judd, we'd love to have you on High and Mighty, or if you just want me to be in your presence at any given... Let's tweet at Judd Apatow right now and say, hey, Judd Apatow, we were just kidding. We love you. Everything you do is, everything you do is gold. I loved The Comedian.
This is Brad talking. I just want to say I disagree with what Gabriel just said.
I love funny people. Brad said he wasn't a fan. I never
said that. I didn't know Gabriel from Funny People came out. You can check. He lived in New York. I lived here.
But I loved it. I swear to God, I loved it. All right, guys. I feel like now that we've got Judd Apatow signed on to produce season two of Tween Fest, we're all made in the shape. I've mentioned Tween Fest a few times. Do you guys want to... this is the moment where people plug shit on the podcast. You guys want to talk? I fucking love Tween Fest.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Thank you.
I think I've watched four episodes, and I think I'll eventually.
You'll get through the rest
of it.
I also know everything that happens.
Yeah, that's true.
You were in the room.
Yeah. Tween Fest is our Funny or Die show. It's on the streaming service Go90. That's go90.com. We made 8 episodes, and it has John Michael Higgins and Drew Tarver and Jane Lynch and Tim Meadows. And
a lot of funny people. Dave Gruber Allen.
Dave Gruber Allen's great.
Yeah, he's so
was
good.
Great in it.
Nicest dude.
Yeah, what a great grab, dude.
Yeah. He's awesome.
But, yeah.
As Twonk Master Christopher.
Yeah. Yeah, and Gabe Russo was in the room for it. Mm-hmm. He pitched a really cool action thing in the ending of the show.
Oh, I can't wait to get to
in
it.
In an episode he hasn't seen.
So check out Tween Fest. Do you guys have anything else? We have the Nephew Show at the end of February if you live in L.A.
Those are our main things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check out I Love My Little Sons.
Yeah, I Love My Little Sons on Facebook. Yeah.
And Twitter.
What are you guys on Twitter?
At Nick Cirelli.
At Bradford Evans.
Cirelli.
Yes.
And that's Evans.
Remember, tweet at Bradford Evans. Congrats. So if you listen to this podcast, please just concrete.
And remember to steal people's phones that you know and just like subscribe to Gamers' podcast. Any phone or computer that's up for grabs. I want all the shitheads to go to your local library.
Yeah, just get my podcast on every computer in the town library for homeless people to listen to while they jack off.
Your audience should just be homeless people jacking off at public libraries. That's like what we should
My audience is like 5% above homeless people. Like, they are almost there.
Yeah. 2 months, like, not paying their rent away from jacking off at a public library.
So, as always, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, I will read it on the podcast. Guys, Nick, Brad, thanks for joining me in the studio. As always, buy yourself some High and Mighty t-shirts. My name on Twitter is at John Gabrus, no H in either of them. And, Brad, congrats.
Thank you.
High and Mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.